Why so downcast in your soul? Put your hope and your trust in me. Put your hope and your trust in me, and I will deliver you. I will guide you. I will show you the way in which you should go. For I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You are the apple of my eye. I am looking out for you. I am watching over you. So put your trust in me, for my love for you will never, ever, ever fail. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Oh, glory to God. You believe that this morning?
In your bulletin? So that's what I want to talk about. But before I do, I want to read Isaiah 61, if you want to put that up for me. You're going to get two sermons today. You ready for that? Okay. Isaiah 61 says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." And then you could keep reading. But isn't that a good word? Have you ever spoken that over yourself? Right? You should if you haven't. Jesus did. Right? And we are heirs. Galatians 3:29. But I want you to, you can read Galatians 3:29 later, but I want you to go to John 3:16. I'm sure you could say it if I asked you to say it, right? Let's put up John 3:16 on the board, up on the overhead, and let's read it together. I'm going to read from here so we have the same version. Let's read it together. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." What I want to share with you this morning is we want 2015 to be a year of explosive growth in this church. And you are part of that. Amen? But what we want to find out is, what are some of the things that we could do to support you? So that's what this little paper is about. But before I ask for your help, I want to tell you what our church is about so you understand what you're part of. Because some of you might be coming here, you might never, pastor doesn't preach a sermon about we are this and we are that, right? He gives you the word so you can go out and you can make a difference for your own life. But what we want you to do this coming year, and starting now, starting at the Christmas table with visitors from out of town, we want you to start thinking about making a difference in somebody else's life for eternity. You know, the difference that you make for eternity, not just the difference that you make for helping them if they have a need. You understand the difference? We're talking eternity, okay? And I shared with you about Dr. Ron Charles and what he does. Our church supports him. He's part of our mission group that we support. We also support the Susquehanna Valley Pregnancy Center, which is local. We do both local and we do international missionaries. We support Stephen Beverly Hoffman, the Stephen Hoffman Ministries. They were here helping us last Sunday for something. But these people are going all around the world and sharing the gospel. Amen? And what you do here is impacting the world. But what we want you to do is to be able to share your faith with someone, or if you don't feel comfortable doing that, we want you to bring someone here to hear about the Word of God. Amen? So we have this paper, and I have it that says side one. I figure side two is understood, so we don't have to print that, right? Side one, and it lists from 1 through 5. If you could take some time, and I'd like you to list the 5 things that maybe causes you, on a personal level, of why, what has stopped you from either sharing the gospel with someone or inviting them to church. Is that, you understand the question? So either what stopped you from sharing the gospel or inviting someone to church. And it's anonymous. You don't have to put your name. And then just put it in the offering. Here's why we're asking. We're going to take this list and we're going to compile it and narrow it down to certain subjects. And we're going to start praying over these things that block us. We're going to help undergird you with prayer. Amen? So that you're out there in your workplace, at your home, with your neighbors, and you could actually get prayer support for specific things that might not, it might be minor, it might be major, but at least you're getting the prayer support on the specific things that you need covered. Amen? Because we want you to be fruitful Christians. We don't just want you to come here, enjoy the meal, and think about all the people that could have enjoyed it too. Right? When you go to a great restaurant, don't you recommend it? And it's up to the person if they go or not, but they're going to go eat out sometime. Well, you're excited about this restaurant. Well, tell them about it, you see? So we want you to share about victory. I don't think you think it's a bad church because you keep coming. Right? Maybe you're coming so you can change something eventually. I'm going to come here long enough so I can tell them. No. But and I know that. Okay, so I shared this one with someone, just this idea with someone, and this was their number one thing. They said, I could tell you right away why I don't. Because I live too far away. And I know that might be one of your things too, that you live too far, but guess what? If you're coming, let the other person say they don't want to come. Don't assume they won't. Do you understand? If you think that maybe you can put up with Pastor Donald Fiona and all the stuff we do in the music, and okay, I put up with it, I can take it, maybe they will too. Okay? But we wouldn't know unless we ask. I remember the story of Pastor Doug. When he was 12 years old, he got saved. But his sister kept asking him every time she went to church. Every time. And he would tell her no every time. And it wasn't a Sunday that he came with her. It was a Wednesday night or a Tuesday night. It was a during the week service when there was a handful of people there. That's the service that he got saved in. We don't know the day that God has picked for someone to get saved. And we could be the person that gets them to the right place. I really want to arrest you today, like make you think about this. Because we come to church and we're happy to be here. We're happy to have a church. We're happy to have a pastor we can call. I need help. But somebody else is floating around there. They're lost. They might be a Christian, but they don't have a church. That is just the worst situation to be in. You know why? Because you're declaring that you're a Christian. The enemy knows you're a Christian, but you're out there without any help or support. You're just out there all by yourself hanging out. That's the most dangerous spot to be in. Because you are a perfect target for the enemy to just keep bombarding you and attacking you. And it's harder to maintain your Christian walk when you're hanging out there all by yourself. Amen? So we want you to know what your church is about. We have a membership church. It's a membership church. So if you're not a member, you can become a member. It is so simple to go through the process. We have it all online. And you can just go online, sign up for it. You get all the training, but we meet with you personally, too. It's not like, you know, you get your ordination online, just answer 5 questions, you get ordination, though. You can go at your own pace, get online, check out. And the reason I say that is, if you go get the information, you don't have to become a member, but at least you'll see what we're about. You'll see everything we believe. It's all there. It'll come to you, and you can understand what it is that we do here and how the government of the place here. In case you have an intellectual person that you'd like to invite, and they might think that we're just poor little Christians, well, Pastor Doug, along with being an ordained minister, he also has a BS in the business administration. Is it a Bachelor of Science or Arts? Science, right? Without the language, is the arts has the language, so the science. Okay, so he has a business administration degree, a 4-year degree, right? I have a business administration degree along with an MBA, and so we know business too. We can talk to professionals, and I'm also ordained, and we have been here 12 years, and we're not going anywhere. Amen? God didn't tell us to go and we're not going. And we are here to make this town a different place. We have people that come all the way from Mannheim and all the way from York. So nobody's too far away. I want you to actively invite people to church. Just tell them where you go to church and ask them if they want to come. That's all you have to do. Because there's something about being in the environment where God plans to move that day for a specific thing. You get people here in that environment, God does the work. The Holy Spirit's the one that draws anyway. It's not us. Doug and I can't get up there and do like this whole big show. The worship team can't just put on this big show. It, none of that matters. The Holy Spirit is the one that draws the heart. Amen. What you can recall your own salvation experience. Everybody's got a different story. But we all had an experience, and we owe it to the world, especially those who call themselves Christian. They'll go to church. It's the worst place they could be. It's to not be among believers. It is the absolute worst. Some people get, we feel comfortable. Well, at least they're going to go to heaven when they die. But you know what? It's going to be hell on earth while they live here if they don't get into a body, into a covering, just to protect, just for somebody else to call up and say, hey, this is happening, and we pray for you. Amen? Are you with me? You guys are looking at me like, we didn't come to hear that. It's Christmas. So on side one, again, if you could put all the reasons, if there's six, put a six there and put it down for us and just let us know. We don't know who you are. We're not going to say, oh, I can't believe she has that problem or he has that problem. Put it down. As simple as it is, I am too busy. Put it down. Guess what's going to happen? You're about to get some free time. You understand? Or I never see anybody. Like everybody I know goes to church. Okay, well then you need to meet some new people. Right? Or I already work for a Christian company. Everybody there is saved. Well then we need to find clients that come in that you just get to talk to now, don't we? There's people everywhere that need to find a church, that need to get saved, that need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? And then side two, the understood side, I'd like you to write anything that you like about your church. Whatever you like about this church, I just want you to put it on paper. So we know what people like and why you keep coming. Besides, the Holy Spirit's here, amen? What you like about your church. And besides, it'll help us feel like we're doing something good. But any questions? I'll answer your questions now if you have a question. Are we all on the same page? And we have some postcards in the back. It has all the beautiful pictures of people from church. If you'd like to take some of those with you, it's a perfect opportunity. It has all of the times of everything. It has, you don't really even have to remember what time we have services, anything like that. You just give someone that. The other thing you could consider is your social network. Invite people to church on your from your social network. Give them the link to our website. There's all kinds of ways in today's technology, amen? But we can become effective workers for the kingdom. Everybody okay? All right. We have a treat. Our little kids have some bells that they want to shake and sing. Are you guys on board for that? Come on up, kids. Come on. If you want to participate, come on up. Come on up. We have them right here. Grab yourself a set of bells. Come on up. You hear them? Come on up. Whoever wants to participate, go on up, Josiah. We're going to sing along with them, right? You got one? Everybody got one at least? All right. Ready? You ready? One, two, three. The world the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Come on. Let every
I'd like you to go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, and we're going to continue our message about joy to the world. If you have joy, say amen. Amen. I'll tell you what, the joy that we can have as a believer, it doesn't come from our circumstances, it doesn't come from outside, but it comes from heaven, and it comes right into our hearts. And if you have a joy that doesn't come from the world, that means the world can't take it away. It doesn't matter what happens in the world, our source of joy is not here. Our source of joy is in Him. Hallelujah. Amen? And Jesus is the source of joy. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 39, we're going to read to verse 45. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass, when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of your salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." Hallelujah. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. You know, I want to let you know that Mary and Elizabeth were carriers of joy. They had received joy. What did they receive? They both received a word from God. The word to Mary was that you're going to have a baby, and it's going to be the product of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. And the word to Elizabeth was that you and Zechariah are going to have a baby in your old age. So both of them received a message from God, and it was the message that they received from God that gave them joy. And, you know, they were carriers of joy, and they had the joy inside their heart. And I have to make a little adjustment here, so just give me just a moment here. You know, and guess what? You can be a carrier of joy today, too. You can have the joy from within. You know, they had spiritual joy from God. And when they walked into a, you know, when you get two people who are full of joy into a room, you're going to find that joy becomes contagious. That joy is meant to be shared with others. Okay? So you had these two women who received words from God. And it was the word that they heard that was the source of their joy. And go with me to Romans chapter 15 for just a minute. Romans 15 and verse 13. Here's what happens to us. He says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit." Does that not sound like what Mary and Elizabeth went through? You know, I like to think of myself as a Bavarian cream donut. Not the fact that I'm soft, but I'm full. I've been chalked full of some Bavarian cream. And when you bite into me, the cream oozes out onto your chin. Can you tell what kind of donuts I like? I mean, I don't like to bite into a Bavarian cream donut and all you get is dough. There's got to be cream in every bite. See? And the God of hope is the one who fills us with all joy. I want to read this again. This is a powerful verse. Now, right now, everybody say right now. As I'm speaking to you, the God of hope is filling you with all joy and peace. How? In believing. Your joy and peace is connected to faith. That you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Woo! I've been filled with all joy and peace so I can abound to hope. And when this is exactly what happened to Mary and Elizabeth. They, you know, Elizabeth was having a baby in her old age. And Mary was having a baby in a way that never occurred before. And they were cousins. Mary and Elizabeth were cousins. They were family. They were relatives. And God was doing something in this family. How many know God wants to do something in your family too? He wants to transform you into a carrier of so that wherever you go, you're carrying joy with you. Joy has to be inside of you. You've got to carry joy. Amen? Amen? You were meant to be a light, and you can brighten up a dark room. You were meant to shine. Okay? So we're going to focus today on spiritual joy. How the Holy Spirit is involved in producing our joy. See, spiritual joy comes from within. It's already in you. Do you notice when Mary greeted Elizabeth, something inside her was the thing that got excited. It was within her. And how many know when a baby leaps, ladies who had a baby before, when the baby leaps, you feel it, right? You're like, whoa, what was that? Whoa, you know? Give that little baby some maracas and you'd be like doing a dance or something. But spiritual joy, it's within. It's not without. It's not based on your circumstances. It's not based on what happens in life. It's not based on your feelings. It's not based on your emotions, but it'll affect your feelings and emotions. But I want you to know it comes from within. Spiritual joy is like something leaping within you that activates the Holy Spirit's power. Whoo! It's like a chemical reaction. When you pour vinegar and baking soda together, they make bubbles. It produces a chemical reaction. Spiritual joy. See, Mary's greeting, it caused the joy that was inside Elizabeth to leap within her. All Mary had to do was say hello, and there was a spark within her that ignited a fire. Hallelujah. All right? See, spiritual joy comes from being full of the Spirit. When the baby leaped, all of a sudden, Elizabeth was full of the Spirit. And when she's full of the Spirit, what happened? She spoke loudly. You know, when you're full of the Spirit, it's hard to be quiet. Now, I understand that there are some times where God moves into a place and everyone's silent and there's like a holy hush that comes into a place. But spiritual joy comes from being full of the Holy Spirit. He is the source of joy. The Holy Spirit, did you know that one of his characteristics, one of his fruits is joy? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. You will never find the Holy Spirit have a bad hair day. You will never find that the Holy Spirit got up on the wrong side of the bed. You will never find a grumpy Holy Spirit. I mean, why? Because it's not his nature. His nature is to be joyful. His nature is to bring joy and to share joy. And he wants you to be a carrier. He wants you to be a copper wire that transfers the power from God to someone else. And all you got to do is make a connection and the power gets transferred. You got to be a carrier of joy today. Amen? Mary was under the influence of the Holy Spirit. She broke out into joy and admiration and gratitude for what? Bless the Lord, oh my soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. There was an expression of joy. Why? Because God came to give joy to the world. You know, Christians need joy. You need to be like the lights on the Christmas tree when you walk into a room. Your presence should just make someone's day brighter. because you're a carrier of joy. Hallelujah. You can be a carrier of joy. When two people who contain spiritual joy, they're in the same place, an explosion occurs. Now, all the baby inside Elizabeth, see, Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant. So, you know, she was what? That was probably what, the second trimester? You know, I forget about my trimesters, but she was in the sixth month. And, you know, just when that baby heard, see, that baby was ordained by God. And that baby heard the word, and that's all that baby needed. It's like, whoa, yeah! That baby was having a party inside Elizabeth's womb. See, spiritual joy is contagious and transferable. Laughter was meant to be shared. It's not just for you. But you get around someone that's laughing, it's like getting around a fountain, and you're going to get splashed. And when you get splashed, you get wet. Some of you need to get wet today. You need to be around someone that has spiritual joy, and you need to receive the joy that they have. You know, if you look at verse 57 in Luke 1, Elizabeth's neighbors and relatives, they rejoiced in God's mercy shown Elizabeth. Every person involved in the story of Christ's birth experienced joy to some level, to some degree. I mean, this is a joyful time. This is not, don't let stress get the best of you. Overcome stress with joy of the Lord. The joy that comes within, the spiritual joy that sparks you on the inside. See, both Mary and Elizabeth, they received God's promises, which gave them joy. It wasn't just a feeling, oh, that joyful feeling. It wasn't just a feeling. It wasn't just an emotion, but it was something that came from God's word. They connected with God's word. And you can have joy today too, and all you got to do is connect with God's word. How do you connect with God's word? You simply believe what he said. You receive what he said. And you do what he said. If you want to connect with joy, if you want to have the same joy that Mary did, the same joy that Elizabeth did, that's all you have to do. You mean it's that simple? Say amen. Yes, that's that simple. God doesn't make things complex. We do. See, both Elizabeth and Mary, they believed God. They were walking in righteousness. They were walking in the light that they had. They were serving God. Elizabeth's husband was a priest, right? And his job was to light the incense. And when he was going to light the incense, that's when the angel Gabriel appeared to him and spoke to him. And Mary was chosen. Both were of the line of David. God needed a woman who was of the line of David, which represents the righteousness of God. It was the righteous line that God chose that the Savior was going to come. And she simply received what God told her. Be it according unto me, as you said. She received the word into her heart, didn't she? So they were both carriers, and it was because of the promises that God gave them. Elizabeth exclaimed with a loud cry. Faith speaks with authority and power. When you're full of joy, it's going to come out loud. Any Penn State fans in here? Okay. Okay, let's just picture your favorite team, whatever that team may be. Not here to cause any strife. But did you know that in those stadiums, they're loud? When their team scores a point, I mean, you got people painting their face with their team's colors. And when their team scores, they go ballistic. They fire cannons. They do all kinds of things. And what do Christians do? Guess what? We're on the winning team. And not only did our quarterback score the winning point, he won the game. And if there's anybody who's got something to be excited and something to shout about, it is Christians, it's people who believe in Jesus Christ. See, spiritual joy is activated by faith. You've got to focus on God and all that is His, and you can have the joy that supersedes feelings, supersedes emotions, and it overcomes circumstances. Mary was going to bear a child not having been married yet. Elizabeth hid herself for 5 months. If you read the story, she went and hid herself. Why would you hide yourself? But it was the joy of the Lord that came to them that helped them both overcome their circumstances. It was the joy that was within. It was the spiritual joy. See, spiritual joy expresses itself in praise. When you're full of spiritual joy, you can't be silent. It's hard to be still. You've got something bubbling up on the inside of you. I mean, when spiritual joy comes to me, it's like two things that the Lord has helped me understand it for me. Number one, it's like at 4th of July, you know the Roman candles? When you light them and it goes, poof, poof, you know, it, that's how joy is to me. It comes from, it goes, poof, and when the, poof, it's, you know, it just comes out of my mouth and I got to laugh. And another type is the old motorcycle that you have to kickstart. You know, sometimes you kick that bike, it goes, no, 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 no. But then you kick it again, it goes, no, 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 no. But then you kick it a third time, no, and then you take off, right? And when I start to laugh, that's how when the joy takes off. But you got to activate it by faith. Here's a little something. Your countenance is a press conference that your face calls to give the state of the union of your soul. You cannot have spiritual joy like this. That's not joy, that's constipation. And maybe you just need a little fiber in your diet and you'll be okay. I mean, you don't normally shout when your relative comes to visit you, but Elizabeth did. Because she had so much joy within her that she shouted with a loud voice. Why? Because joy is powerful. Did you know that the joy of the Lord is your strength? There's power in joy. And we have to guard ourselves so that we don't lose our joy. You're going to encounter joy suckers in your life. You're going to be around people and around circumstances that just try to suck the joy out of you. And you walk away from that situation like you've just sucked on a lemon. But you got to guard this joy that God gives you. Okay? Elizabeth's baby leaped within her. See, spiritual joy is a spark that ignites a holy fire. Spiritual joy is being under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Now, you may or may have known someone that was under the influence of a substance. Maybe, let's just take alcohol, for example. And when you're under the influence of that substance, it affects how you walk, it affects how you talk, and it affects how you react. And normally, it dulls the senses. And it reminds you the next morning that it wasn't such a good idea. Right? So, someone could be under the influence of a substance, but then someone could be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Now, when you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you can drive and you won't be arrested for it. You won't have a headache or a hangover. It'll leave you feeling better. When you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, no burden can attach itself to you. It'll just fall off. This is why we need the joy of the Lord. In verse 45 of Luke 1, Elizabeth said, "She who has believed is blessed, because what was spoken to her by the Lord will be fulfilled." Did you know that God will confirm every word that he tells you? What he was doing to Mary, he was using Elizabeth to confirm what he'd already spoken to her. Mary was declaring that she's blessed because she believed, and what God said is going to come to pass. And wouldn't that give you good news? Wouldn't that excite you that what God told you is true and what God said is going to come to pass? All you have to do then is just rest in that. See, spiritual joy, it magnifies God and it minimizes man-made solutions. They began to glorify God. They began to exalt God. The minute that joy that they had within them was activated, it came out in magnifying God, and they made God bigger than the problem. You know you have spiritual joy when you talk more about the God and less about the problem. You've just transferred into the arena of joy. If you're still talking about the problem, you're still at the gate. You haven't gotten in yet. Amen? I mean, when Jesus healed people, he didn't call a council together. He said, "Let's analyze this problem." He simply spoke a word right there in that moment, and it was the word that caused them to be healed or to be made whole or to do whatever. "Pick up your bed and walk," he said to the lame man. What did the lame man do? He picked up his bed and walked. That was the first time he walked in a long time. My point is, you know what? It doesn't have to take you a long time to get joyful. It can happen within seconds. And all you got to do is believe and just open up yourself to whatever, however God wants to bring it forth through you. See, spiritual joy, it fills you with God's goodness, excitement, and blessing. Mary and Elizabeth were having a good time praising God for the things that he said and for who he is. They just had a little praise party. And I don't know, maybe they did a little jig. I don't know, the Bible doesn't say. But there certainly was evidence that there was overflowing joy here. They had received the joy of the Lord. See, spiritual joy is knowing about God's love, God's goodness, God's favor, God's blessing, and it's bubbling up from within you. When you begin to think about how good God is, it overwhelms your soul, and you're like, "Oh my goodness, God is so good to me. I can't believe how good. I mean, he is just so good. He's so awesome." And you just start going off. And it causes you to be joyful. Not joy empty, joyful. Now, Satan will try to pull the plug out of your joy tank. He doesn't want you to be joyful. He'll keep reminding you of your shortcomings, of your faults, of your mistakes, but you know what? He's the father of lies. Anything that Satan tells you is a lie. Anything that Satan brings before you is a lie. It's not true. It's going to bind you. But you can resist Satan, steadfast in the faith, and you can overcome his bad news with God's good news. Believe God's good news. Don't put your faith in the bad news. A bad news is just an opportunity for God to work. See, when you're filled with spiritual joy, your soul magnifies and your spirit rejoices in God, your Savior. Both Elizabeth and Mary declared that. Elizabeth said, she said about Mary, "Why has the mother of my Lord?" Elizabeth made her relationship with the Lord personal. She said, "My Lord." They referred to my Savior. "My soul rejoices in my Savior," Mary said. How many know God is a personal God? He loves you. He wants to get involved in your life where you are. Just let him in. He comes by invitation. We are not in a sad season. We are in a joyful season. This is a joy that can affect the entire world. And Mary, in verse 48, she said, "For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." Another translation, the New Living Translation, says, "He took notice of his lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed." The International Standard Version says, "He has looked favorably on his humble servant. All generations will call me blessed." In other words, all generations are going to call Mary favored by God. And guess what? The same favor that God showed Mary, he shows to each one of us. It's called grace. Without, by grace through faith, you're saved, right? It's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Salvation is God's gift to us. It's the greatest gift of all. It's the unspeakable gift. It's the gift that keeps on giving. Your salvation enhances your life. It changes your perspective. It heals your body. It delivers you from darkness. It brings you into the light. It brings you into his kingdom. That's an awesome gift. See, and then verse 49, "He that is mighty has done great things to me, and holy is his name." You know, we need to start thanking God about the great things that he's done to us. We need to start declaring to each other the great things that God has done to us. Husbands and wives, every day you ought to share some things about how the great things that God has done to us. Why? That builds each other up. That gives Satan a headache. The Lord, he who is mighty, has done great things to us, and he does it through his joy. His mercy, verse 50, his mercy is on them that fear him. Do you fear him? Do you respect him? Do you reverence God? Well, how you reverence God is shown in your actions and in your behavior. Did you know that our behavior shows whether or not we reverence God? The actions that we take, the thoughts that we think and overcome our lives. But did you know that God's mercy is on those who fear him, who reverence him, who open their self? When God wants to move, you move with him. I mean, all of a sudden, Mary was shown God's plan for her. And she could accept it or she could reject it. She chose to accept it. And you know, when you choose to accept God's plan for your life, he'll be with you for the rest of the way. You're not going to have to go on alone. You're not going to have to try to do it by yourself. He's going to be there to help you. I'm a very present help in trouble. I'm your wisdom. I'll never leave you nor forsake you, Jesus said. I'll be with you always, even until the end of the age. You know, when God reveals his plan for you, to you, he's going to walk with you to accomplish it. You're not going to do it alone. That's good news. Amen. God's not going to call you and then leave you. Oh, yeah, I called you, but you're on your own. Go for it. You know, he doesn't do that. Because when we're left to our own, we always fall on our face. I mean, even Jesus said, "I can do nothing of myself." Now, if Jesus thinks that he could do nothing of himself, what makes us think that we can do that? I mean, Jesus never sinned. We have sinned. But thank God for what he's done, because he took our sin away from us. Verse 51, he has showed his strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. Did you know that the last will be first and the first will be last? I'm ready to make that shift. Amen? There's no, in God's kingdom, there's no such thing as nice guys finish last. Uh-uh, the last is going to be first. So if you're a nice guy, prepare to cross the finish line. Not at the end of the line, but at the beginning. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He's put down the mighty from their souls, their seats, exalted them in low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things. How many hungry people do we have here today? I mean, you're hungry for righteousness. You're hungry for God's goodness. You're hungry for His grace. You're hungry for His power. You're hungry for a move of the Holy Ghost. You're hungry for some holy fire. All you've got to do is show up here hungry, and God said He will fill you. So how many hungry people do we have here today? You know, it's the hungry that get filled. The hungry show up when they hear the dinner bell. If you're out in the field and you hear the dinner bell, it's the hungry that, whoo, don't call me late for dinner. You can call me, just don't call me late for dinner. Why? Because when I'm hungry, I'm hungry. The only cure for hungry is to eat. He'll fill the hungry with what? Good things. God will fill you with good things. When you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. And the rich He has sent away empty. Now, God is not opposed to money, but He's talking about people who trust in their riches. How many know if you trust in riches, they're going to fail? You better put your trust in God. Amen? He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy. Go with me to Psalm chapter 4. Psalm chapter 4. I want to just expound a little bit on this spiritual joy. Mary had it. Elizabeth had it. John the Baptist had it. Jesus had it. Joseph had it. And you can have it today too. Joy is for your taking today. Today I have set up a buffet of joy. And it's from wall to wall. And you can come and you can receive any kind of joy that you need. You can receive any kind of help with joy that you need. You can receive gladness. You can receive exaltation. You can receive laughter. It's all here today. But you got to receive it. God's already given it. It is yours for the taking. All right, Psalm chapter 4. And let's go to verse 7. Psalm 4 and verse 7. You have put gladness in my heart. Who put it there? The Lord did. Notice, He was the one who put it there. The gladness didn't come from your situation. The gladness didn't come from your life. The gladness didn't come from your spouse. The gladness didn't come from your children. It came from the Lord. He put it there. Okay? More than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. So He put joy in our heart. Go to Psalm 63. Psalm 63 and verse 5. Did you know that the more scriptures you hear about joy and you believe it, the easier it is to rejoice? Every one of us today, we came into this building through a door. And the way you enter into the spiritual realm is you come through the door. You come through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the door. And once you come into this building, you have access to the heat. You have access to the light. You have access to food. You have access to friendship and fellowship. You have access to worship. You have access to God moving. You have access to God's presence. It's all here. But we all had to come in order to get it. Amen? Psalm 63, verse 5. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise You with what? Joyful lips. Tell yourself, say, I got some joyful lips. And God wants you to use those lips to make sounds of praise to His name. He's given you those lips. He's given you your mouth and your tongue and your vocal cords so that you could praise Him. And when you praise Him, He somehow inhabits our praises. His presence comes down in our praises, and He does the miraculous. Because this is the joy to the world that God came to give us. Go to my favorite chapter, Psalm 126. Now, if there was ever a spark, this is a spark right here. I love this chapter in Psalms because I have done it a lot. You know, I've told people in times past that I'm a laugh-a-leptic. It's not a sickness, it's a disease, but it causes me to have laughing spells, fits of laughter. You know, I can remember as a child, I was over my grandparents' home on my dad's side, and my grandma Josie, I don't know, we were watching TV, we were sitting in the living room, and you know, she was kind of a round Polish lady, and when she laughed, her whole belly shook, all right? And I can remember, we were sitting in that living room, and something sparked laughter in us, and we were laughing for about 15 minutes. She was sitting in her chair, about, you know, just her belly going up and down, and we were just having a good time laughing in the Lord. It is good to laugh. Amen. Laughter is probably the initial sign of joy. Psalm 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like that. Anybody had their captivity turned around? Amen. Anybody been delivered out of chains of darkness, out of an addiction, out of a dark path, out of the wrong way? You've been delivered? Oh, there's something when the Lord delivers you. He delivers me from death, hallelujah. He delivered me from sin, hallelujah. He delivered me from my mistakes that I made. He gives me a new life. When your captivity was turned, then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, they were singing this among the heathen were hearing them. The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done, I can't help it, I just get excited about it. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we were glad. I'm glad because of the things, the great things that God has done for me. If that's the thing that makes me glad. That's the thing that motivates me. That's the thing that excites me, is what God has done for me. Every one of us have a story and a testimony of what God has done for you, where he's brought you from, what he's brought you out of, what he's delivered you from, where he took you from. I was broken, I was in pieces, but now he made me whole. I was down and out, and he lifted me from the death. He lifted me from the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock. I had no purpose. I was lost and wandering, and he gave me a way, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Turn again our captivity, O Lord. Some of us need to be set free today. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. The streams in the south are, he's referring to Ezekiel's prophecy. He talked about a river that flows under the throne room of God. And as it flows out, it brings joy. Hallelujah. There is a river whose streams make glad in the city of God. We're in the city of God today, and it's a glad day. It's a joyful day. It's a rejoicing day. And it's time for the saints to rise up and to rejoice with the joy of the Lord that he's put in our hearts. It's time that we turn. He says, then they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. If you've been given some tears, if you've been mourning, you can reap joy today. You can have a harvest of joy today. He that goes forth and weeps bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Can you say amen? Amen. The same joy that Mary had, the same joy that Elizabeth had, the same joy that the wise men had when they came to the little baby. He was a little boy now. See, because it took a long time. The wise men didn't show up at the manger. But you know what? They had great joy. They had great, what kind of joy? Great joy. I don't know about you, but, you know, one little shout is not so much great joy. It has to be a pattern of shouts. Amen? Go to Isaiah 61. Pastor Fiona read from this today. Isaiah 61 and verse 10. This is a good declaration today. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decked himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Let's make a decision today that we will greatly rejoice in the Lord and that our soul will be joyful in God today. Can we make that declaration? Amen. Say, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord today. My soul will be filled with joy, praising God, giving Him glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, every once in a while, when I would be driving with my father, he would speed up, and he would just look at me and he'd say, "Son, I'm just blowing out the cobwebs of the engine." You know? You ever hear that phrase? You're just blowing out the cobwebs, you know? You got this car, and it hasn't been used for what it was designed for in a long time, but you give it that gas and it just clears some stuff out of the, guess what? We need to clear some stuff out of our hearts today. We need to clear some of you need to hit the gas today and clear out the cobwebs and experience the joy of the Lord, the healing of God, God's mighty touch, the move of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is here today. He's here to lift you up. He's here to edify you. He's here to pick you up. He's here to heal you. He's here to bless you. He's here to comfort you. He's here to hold you. He's here to give you vision. He's here to give you peace. And he's here to give you joy. Hallelujah. Oh, we need to get excited. We need to praise God. Don't just clap. We need to praise him with our lips. We need to open our mouths and give God praise today. Hallelujah. Woo, I can hardly, I don't know how some of you can hardly sit down. I can hardly contain myself. There is a joy here today. We're going to knock the depression right out of you. After today, putting your head down in shame will be like taking a shower with your socks on. It'll just feel weird. After today, you don't have to have another depressed day. You don't have to have another down day. You don't have to have another defeated day. Why? Because the joy is going to make you win. The joy is going to put you over. The joy is going to give you the strength that you need to face any challenge and any difficulty. The Bible says in Hebrews 12 about Jesus, for the joy that was set before him. What did that joy set before him do? It helped him endure the cross, despising the shame and the suffering. There was a joy that was set before Jesus that caused him to endure the cross, endure the crucifixion, endure the beating, endure the whipping, endure the criticism, endure the mocking. It was the joy that was set before him. It was the joy that was working in him. He had to carry that cross. It was the joy of you and I coming to him. It was the joy of us having this church and meeting here today. It was the joy that was set before him of the multitudes that were going to hear the good news and come into the family of God. It was that joy that gave Christ the strength to endure all that he went through. It's the same joy that you and I can have right now. It's the same joy. God wants to give you the same joy. You're facing some challenges? You need joy. Years ago, and I'm rereading it again, but it was a book by Richard Roberts back in 1993. And he talked about when he became the president of ORU. He told the board, he said, "Don't make me president because I'm my father's son." He said, "Make me president because you think I'm God's man." So they voted him as president. Well, when he became president, he had a $42 million debt on the university. And he said that debt just would tear his stomach up in knots. It was very hard. He lost sleep. He was losing his joy. He found out that at the same time, they also stopped their charitable giving. And when he found that out, he instituted them to start giving again. And he told this story of when he was in a board meeting. And they were trying to find ways to pay this creditor, to pay that creditor. And in the middle of the meeting, Richard Roberts was hit with the joy of the Lord. He fell off of his seat in the board meeting, laughing hysterically on the floor. And God began to minister to him through joy. And it was the joy of the Lord that caused him to reduce the debt by significant amounts. And guess what? If the joy can cause Jesus to endure the cross, if the joy can cause Richard to face an impossible debt, what can the joy do for you today? The joy of the Lord, this spiritual joy that comes from within, this spiritual joy that is activated by faith, this spiritual joy that changes the countenance, not only of you, but of your life and whatever room you walk into. God's ready to touch you with joy today. Are you ready to be joyful? Are you ready to have so much joy in you that it overflows? Like when you hit a sponge that's been soaked, the minute you just put a finger on that sponge and water begins to ooze out. I want you to be so full of joy that when someone puts their finger on you, joy just begins to ooze out. It just begins to flow out of you. You were dry and brittle until you encountered the joy of the Lord. And when you got the joy of the Lord, you became moist, you became flexible, you became pliable. Everything changed when you encountered the joy of the Lord. Time to receive the joy today. I know that we got some believers in here today who believe that joy is not something of the past, it's something of the now. As a matter of fact, joy is a gift because you'll find it in your present, and you'll find it in God's presence. In His presence is fullness of joy. So if you want to have the fullness of joy, you got to come into His presence. How do you come into His presence? You do it by faith. And you say, I believe, I receive. When you believe what you heard today and you receive what you heard today, then you have joy. Now then you got to step out by faith and release the joy. See, because joy is like a 2-liter bottle of soda that has just been shook up. And it puts so much pressure on the inside, it has to be released. And I believe that the anointing of God today is going to take the cap off. And we're going to release that joy. So if there's anybody here today that wants the joy of the Lord, number one, the first thing to have joy is you got to be born again. Because that gives you the greatest. If you've never made Jesus your Savior, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that is the first step to entering into His joy. Is there anyone here today that you've never asked Jesus to be Lord of your life? You need to do it today. That's to receive the joy is step one. Be born again. All right? And for those of you that are born again, step two is activate the Holy Ghost. Pray in tongues. There's nothing that energizes joy more than praying in tongues. It allows the Holy Spirit to move. It allows, see, yeah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Stand up, Peggy, right here. Just stand up right there. Yeah, you're ready. Woo, Father. I just release the joy of the Lord to Peggy right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, joy is releasing every burden. It's removing every, whoo, yeah, you feel how light you're getting right now?